Begin the current daf, Sechtes Chul and Daf Pei. Begin 3 lines down at the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which relates to halacha of our parak regarding Oisei Ves Benoi, the prohibition of slaughtering a parent and a child on the same day. The Gemara in the previous daf brought a Braisa, which was a Machlekes Rav Elezer and Rabbanan, if that prohibition applies to a Kai. A Kai is a mixed hybrid, again, at least according to the Tanoim we mentioned in the previous daf, between a Chaya, which is a deer, and between a Behemoth, which is a goat. Now, on that, Rav Chizkiya had explained what type of koi were Rav Elezer and the Chum disagreeing about. And he said it's regarding a tiyosh and a tzviya. It's with, where a female child is born from a he-goat and a female deer. And he said, what's the machlekes? The machlekes is that everyone agrees that mikta seh would be considered a seh, meaning even if it's partially a seh, because the isra of Oisav is benoi only applies, as the pasuk says, regarding the certain category, that of a sheep. And therefore, if it has a partial element of seh, that would also apply. So the Rabbanon, they say we consider the paternal relationship too. We consider the father. The father is a goat, so therefore it's going to apply to the Isav Oisav es benai. Whereas according to Rav Elezer, he says, no, there's no paternal relationship at all. We only consider the mother. The mother is a deer. Therefore, the Isav Oisav es benai doesn't apply. Now, however, that interpretation of Rav Chizda was asked from different sources regarding a Braisa and regarding a Mishnah later enough, Pei Gimel Mabez, where ultimately the Gemara concluded, which is where our Gemara continues in this halacha, that this Machlekes Rav Elezer and Rabban that we have, which is in the context of Kai, that it has manifestations in our parak regarding the Isav Oisav es benoi, which applies to Seh. It also has a ramification regarding the Mishnah later on, could you slaughter it on Yom Tiv? Because there's a question regarding if we consider it a chaya, if we have to cover its blood or not, which is a difference between chaya and behema. And additionally, regarding a brice, regarding matnas kahuna, which is that it's only if it's a seh that you have to give certain kohana gifts from the animal that you slaughter and not. So the Gemara ultimately concluded and said that actually both Rav Elezer and the Rabbanan, they are both in doubt if we consider zera ha'av or not. So the Gemara had asked, and that's where our Gemara on the top of this Amud had concluded, so then what's their disagreement? So that's what the Gemara says, which the Gemara wasn't saying all along. Their disagreement is in the concept. Do you say when the Torah tells you a halacha regarding seh, that applies to even mikta seh, mean to say that one of its parents is a seh, and that would be sufficient, or not? Rabban holds seh v'afila mikta seh. They say when the Torah says seh, which again we have different contexts that will have ramifications if it's a seh or if it's a chaya, because this kai is a hybrid of a sheep, goat, and of a deer. And Rav Elezer says that no, when it says seh, it has to be a complete seh. And if it's only one, partially, if one of its parents has said, that's not enough for it to be considered seh. So that's where our Gemara continues and qualifies. So Amra Papa, so he says, Lahilkach, therefore, since we explained that according to both Rabban and Rav Elezer, they're both in doubt, do we consider the zera ha'av or not? And their machlekes is regarding when the Torah tells you seh, does that include even mikta seh or not? So therefore you have as follows regarding the categories that we spoke about in the previous stuff, how to qualify those mishnayis, those halachas, according to this explanation. So le'inyin kisa hadam, regarding the halacha of the mishnah later on, the Pei Gimel that said that you don't slaughter this kai, this hybrid animal, on Yom Tiv, because it sounds like that, like the mishnah there explained, we're in doubt, do you have to cover the blood or not? So therefore, you can't do it on Yom Tiv, because if you have to, then you have to. And then you can't put yourself in a situation that you're not going to. On the other hand, you can't, because maybe you're not supposed to, and then you're doing Chil Yom Tiv about digging with the earth and doing other things that related to if there's no mitzvah element of doing on Yom Tiv. So regarding that halacha, and regarding Umatanis, which was a machlekes that we quoted in the previous daf, the last one that we brought from a braisa between Rav Elezer and Rabbanan, do you give kohana gifts from a kai or not? Explains Rav Papa, loy mishkachas, you're not going to have those halachas, ela b'tzvi haba alat yasha. Only regarding, like we said, it depends which gender we're talking about is which one. We know it's a hybrid. He says it has to be the case of when the father is a deer and the mother is a goat, as Rav Papa explains. The bein l'rabban and the bein l'eliezer, like we were explaining from the previous daf, mishafkalhu, again, they're both endowed, ichayshin l'zera avaloi. Do we consider the patrilineal descent? Do we consider that there's a relationship or not? Now, v'kamifalki, and their machlekes is, b'sev afila mikza seh. Do we consider when the Torah says something regarding seh, that includes even a partial seh? So therefore, as Rashi explains what Rav Papa is saying, the Mishnah later on, Dav Pei Gimel Amud Beis, that says you're not allowed to slaughter a Kohen Yom Tov, is going according to the Rabbanan. Because like we said, everyone agrees that maybe we suspect the Zera of the Av. If you're considering the Zera of the Av, the father is a deer is a Chaya. A Chaya, when you slaughter, you have to cover the blood. Now, moreover, why are we saying it specifically according to the Rabbanan? Because they hold, when the Torah tells you halacha, like by a tzvi, which is a chaya, that includes even a partial deer, that's, you consider, maybe the father is considered, and he's a deer, and therefore he would have to cover the blood. Now, the thing is, but maybe, as everyone's in doubt, maybe we don't consider the seed of the father. Then that means this child is totally exempt from covering its blood. Because then it's not going to be even a partial deer, because it can be purely a goat like its mother. Now, that's the halacha of regarding that Mishnah on Pei Gimel regarding Kis Adam. Now, the reason why it has to be like Rav Papa explained, a tzvi, that's a father deer with a mother goat, is because if it was the other way, that it was the father was a tiyash, father was a goat, and the mother was a deer, you wouldn't be able to explain it as the Rabbanan. Because most definitely then over there you can have at least a partial deer, because everyone considers the mother, and therefore then the halacha would have been according to Rabbanan that most definitely you should slaughter and cover the blood on Yom Tov. Now, although actually according to Eliezer, that you would be able to explain the halacha by, like we just described, that we asked from a tiyash habala tzviya, because like we said, he agrees that maybe we consider the seed of the father, and therefore all you're going to have is a partial deer, and a partial deer he does not consider. Now, at the same time, maybe you don't consider the seed of the father, and it's totally deer, and they have to be covered. So that would fit into that Mishnah Pei Gimel, why are we explaining, as Rashi was saying, that Mishnah Pei Gimel would be specifically according to the Rabbanan, in the case we just described. Why? Why can't you say the halacha of that Mishnah Pei Gimel, a different case, the flip way, a tiyash habala tzviya, and be going according to Rabbi Yezer, and then you would have the same doubt. Therefore, you wouldn't be able to slaughter it because maybe you would have to cover it, maybe you wouldn't. So that says Rashi, no, because Rav Papa prefers to explain that Mishnah, which would be like either one or the other anyway, like Rabbanan and not like Rabbi Eliezer. So that would be the understanding of the halacha of Kisa Adam, how it relates to Yom Tov, as the Mishnah and the Pei Gimel speaks about. Now, so to regarding the second halacha, regarding Kohanic gifts, like Rav Papa said, that has to be specifically the case of when it's the father deer with a mother goat. Because, and we said that's their machlekes, as we quoted the Bryce in the previous stuff, that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he says, you're totally exempt from giving any Kohanic gifts from this hybrid child. Because, like we said, everyone's concerned, maybe you consider the seed of the father. So, all you're going to have is the, if that's the case, if you're considering the seed of the father, is that you only have partial seh from the mother. Now, Rabbi Eliezer does not hold, like we said, seh v'afilu miktza seh. So, since we're in doubt, maybe that's what it is. So halacha is hamoitza mechaber olav araya. The one who's trying to collect the coin from the Yisrael to get the gifts, he would have to prove, and he could tell him, look, bring proof, the Yisrael could tell the coin, that we don't consider the seed of the father, and that it's totally said, and then you could take. But if it's not, then it's partial, and partially you can't take anything, according to Rabbi Eliezer. So that's why Rabbi Eliezer says he doesn't have to give anything. According to Rabbanan, as we explained the Bryce in the previous staff, they say, no, you have to give at least half of the gifts, memanav shech, either way you look at it. Because if we don't consider the seed of the father, so then it's totally a sheep. And of course, he would have to give everything. But if we do consider the seed of the father, then okay, at least there's partial seh element from the mother. And like we said, Rabbanan hold that you do say seh, v'afilu miktza seh. So therefore, the kain could take at least a half that's related to the seh. And then the other half, that's when the Yisrael could tell the kain, bring a proof that we don't consider the seed of the father, and then it's totally seh, and then you could take all of it. But up until then, he would have to give at least half. Now, and what's with the flip case of, like Rav Papa is not saying, he's saying it only applies by Tzvi Habala Tziyasha. What would be the case of when the father's a goat and the mother's a deer? So that says, Rashi, that wouldn't be a viable option either. Because then according to Rabbanan, even according to them, you should be Pater. Because even though they say that you say Miktza Seh, but who's to tell us in this case there would even be Miktza Seh? Because maybe you don't consider the seed of the father, and then it's totally like the mother, which is a deer, and then Hamoitz Mechabal Avaraya, he wouldn't have to give anything. So that's why, again, Rav Papa explained for these two cases, regarding the Mishnah Pei Gimel and the Braisa we quoted, which the Mishnah Pei Gimel was a unanimous halacha, which again we're saying is according to Rabbanan, and the machlekes that Rabbi Lezer and Rabbanan had regarding the halacha Matanis, that has to be specifically in the case of Tzvi Haba Alat Yashu. Now, going to the third halacha, which is the price that we started off on the previous daf on Amud Beis, which relates to halacha of Aperik, and you could have the machlekes Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan regarding is there a prohibition of slaughtering this hybrid and its child on the same day, is bein b'tzia shabal tzvia, the ramification of that machlekes would be both in the case of the father's a goat and the mother's a deer, ubein b'tzvia habal tzvia, and it also would be if the father's a deer and the mother's a goat. But they have different applications, as the Papa explains. B'tiyash habal atzviya, the machlekes regarding if the father's a goat and the mother's a deer, that machlekes would be regarding ul isura, regarding if there's a prohibition. Meaning, in general, in that case, Rabbanan would say that the isra of Eisev Esbenei would apply in that case, and it would be forbidden to slaughter them both on the same day if you have a female child that comes from a he-goat and a she-deer with its child. Why? What's the machlekes? The Rabbanan Savri Dilma Cheshon Lezerav. Like we said, everyone agrees, and the Rabbanan hold that maybe we consider the seed of the father. Now, if you're considering the seed of the father, then you have Sev Afilamikta Se Amrinan. So then you have the father is a goat, which is Se. So maybe it's partial Se. And if it's partial Se, it's included in the Isser by Isser Esbenai, and therefore Va'aser. Now, that's why we're saying it's only regarding the prohibition, but the person wouldn't get lashes. Because, like we said, the Rabbana aren't out, maybe we don't consider the seed of the father. And maybe it's not even a partial set. Maybe it's only like the mother, which is a deer. So therefore, even if someone would be warning him and say, hey, you do this, you're going to be violating this, which is usually the precursor to getting lashes, that's what's called hasra safik. We don't know if it is prohibited or not, and therefore that wouldn't be considered a valid hasra, and you can't get lashes without a proper warning. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer Saba, he holds that no, it's actually permitted even initially to slaughter that and its child on the same day, because even Nehi Nami L'Cheshon L'Zarav, even though he is in doubt, maybe you do suspect the seed of the father, but at most it's going to make it into a partial Seh, a fellow makes a Seh, lo yaminin. As we said, he doesn't hold of partial Seh being considered a Seh, and therefore does not have the Isser, Lois of Esbenai. Now, that's regarding, as we said, regarding the case of Tiyash Habala Tzviya. The father's a goat and the mother's a deer. Now the other way, b'tzvi habala tiyasha, regarding if the father's a goat, his father's a deer, and the mother's a goat, there's also the machlekes regarding Eisev Esbenai, but it has a different application, it's ulamalkes. Here the machlekes is regarding, you get lashes. Rabban Sabi, the Rabban hold, nihinami d'cheshon l'zera'av, they say, although, yeah, we suspect that maybe the father's seed has relation, and therefore, which would actually make it into a deer, which would not have the Eisev Esbenai, but there's at least still the partial of the mother, which is a seh. And seh, v'filam mix a seh amrinan. They say the partial seh does apply, and therefore makinle. The definitive part of the mother makes it already into a seh, and if you're going to get lashes because of that. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer Savi says, no, in this case, isuri ikka. You're right, there's a prohibition, but malchus leka, but there wouldn't be lashes. As the Gemara explains, isuri ikka, why is there a prohibition? Because dilma in cheshon lezarav. Maybe we don't suspect the seed of the father, so v'hai sema'alyuhu. Maybe there's a bona fide, purely bred, born and bred seh, because we're only considering the seed of the mother, which is a sheep. So therefore it's prohibited, because it might be a pure seh. But Malkus Leka, you can't give him lashes because Dilma Cheshon Lezarav, maybe we do consider the seed of the father, and the father is a deer, not a sheep. And since that would make it into a partial set, that wouldn't be in the Isra at all, and therefore, of course, you can't give him lashes, but for him it's prohibited because it might be a pure set. So again, that was Rav Papa's interpretation of the Machlekes that we started on the top of Amud Beis, the previous daf, of how do you qualify this Kai, which, as we explained, was this mixed hybrid and its applications to Eisev Esbenai and Matnas Kuhuna and regarding Kisei Adam on Yom Tov, which has ramifications. Do we consider it a Chaya, which is like a deer, or do we consider it as a Seh, which has its halachas regarding Eisev Esbenai and regarding Matnas Kuhuna, whereas Kisei Adam applies to a Chaya. However, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Kai Ber Yibifnei Atzmihi. Rabbi Yehuda says that actually this Kai is not a hybrid of a behem and a chaya. Because he holds a chaya cannot become impregnated from a behema, and neither could a behema become impregnated from a chaya. As the Gemara says this in Baba Kamad of Ayin Chesem and Alf. So therefore he says actually its own breed. Now, obviously Rabbi Yehuda is not going according to Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanan of the previous daf and the previous Braisa, because they most definitely hold, as we had explained, that it's a hybrid from a behem and a chaya. As the Gemara says this elsewhere, that except for Blesa and his disputants, that they say a chaya could become impregnated from a behema. But if you're just saying a different opinion, he says no, that a chaya and a behema cannot mate and have a child, and therefore this chaya is its own unique creature. He says, however, the sages were not definitive. Is it a behema or is it a chaya? Which again, therefore, gives it the doubts of those halachas. Do you do kisa adam, which only by chaya? They have to give crown and gifts, which applies only to a set. So he says, and that's the doubt. Not because it's coming from two of them, but rather it's his own breed, and they weren't sure how to define it as a behema or a chaya. Rav Nachman, he gives a different interpretation. He says, no, koi is a ayil habar. This koi is a wild ram, which is a male ram that grows up in the forest. It says the Gemara Kitanoi, their machlekes amarum is actually machlekes tanum, which puts together these three different opinions, one from the previous daf and the two we just quoted. The Tanakhama says, koi is a ayil habar. This koi is this wild ram. The yeshem, those who say, like we had from the previous daf, zehaba menat yash menat tzviya, it's the child from a male goat with a female deer. Rabbi Yossi, I mean, he says, koi beri b'fnei atzmihi. No, this koi is its own breed. And the sages did not define clearly if it's a wild animal or domesticated animal. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, he says, min behemahi, gives a different opinion. He says, it's actually a species of a behema. V'shal beis d'shoi, and from this household of d'shoi, which is a family name and was called based on the patriarch of d'shoi, hoi megadlin mehen adarm adarm, they would bring up flocks and flocks of this type of goat, this type of behema, which is called this koi. Now, similarly related to this discussion regarding these types of goats and rams and how you qualify this creature, so Amr b'Zeira, Amr b'Safra, Amr b'Famnuna says, Hani azi de bala. These goats from the forest, bala means forest, it's these goats from Lebanon. He says, Kesheris legabe mizbeach. They're valid to be brought as a carbon on the mizbeach, meaning to say that they're not chayis, because the only thing that's qualified to be brought as a carbon on the mizbeach is behemoth. So he's saying that these goats are considered behemoths and not chayis. Says the Gemara, Sabo lekihodam, Rabbi Yitzchok. Obviously, he holds like this following statement of Rabbi Yitzchok, that he said, Esther behemoth mona akasav. The Torah delineates 10 types of animals that are permitted to be eaten as kosher animals. It says a shar, an ox, a seksavim, goats, a sheep, v'seizim, and goats, ayil, a hart, v'tzvi, a deer, v'yachmer, v'akoi, v'dishin, v'toi, v'zemer. It's a pasuk in Vayom Yudal that mentions 10 types of kosher animals. Now, says Rabbi Yitzchok, v'sulai. There's no other behemah and chaya that's kosher in the world besides these that the Torah mentions. Now, v'hani, and these azi debala, these forest goats, you can't be in doubt that maybe it's one of the kosher types of chayas. From the fact that it's not mentioned over here in the Torah to say that it's one of the kosher types of chayas, and there is no other kosher animal. Now, from the fact that the Torah doesn't mention it as one of the chayas, so shmam enough, the Torah is not mentioning, obviously, the eizninu. Obviously, then, it must be part of the category of what the Torah says of isaizim, of goats, that this is also a type of a goat. As we see, they're easy to bali, and we know goats are a type of a behemoth. So since we know it's a type of a behemoth, there is kosher for the mizbech. However, Maskev l'Ravach by Yaakov, he says, how do you know this? Behemah may be say, to interpret the pasuk as follows. The pasuk there, yeah, delineates all the types of kosher animals. And it mentions ayil, b'tzvi, a hart, and a deer. That's prat. Those are specific type of animals that are kosher. Then the pasuk says, kol behemah, all types of animals that have these signs, split hooves and chews its cud, which is the signs of a kosher animal. That's klal, that's a general category. That's what's called prat v'klal, a specific than the general. Nasa klal meisav ala prat, so the klal is coming to add on to the specifics, which ikatuba, that means there are more that are not mentioned. So maybe the azi debali, or are not mentioned, but they're included in the prat v'klal, and therefore how do you know it's a behemah that it's included in the izim in the Torah? Maybe it's its own species of chayas, which are being added on from the prat v'klal. Says the Gemara, no, because the Mekane, if that would be how you interpret the Pasuk, then Kalhani Prati Lamali. Why did Torah have to go through all those 10 specifics? If you're coming to tell me that the Klal is going to add on anyway, just say some. From the fact that it specifies all these, that means it's only these and none others. And if it's none others, but we know that this wild goat has the kosher signs and is kosher, it must be included then in the Se'izim, again, which are behemoths and kosher for be brought as a carbon on the Mizbeach. But the Gemara continues to ask, Maskevler of Acha Bereder of Iker. Says, you're right, okay, so although that, you're right, there's no other species of Chaya that wasn't mentioned here in the Pasuk, and therefore it must be included in one of those that were mentioned, but still, how do you know that it's a type of goat? V'dilma mina de Akoi ninu. Maybe this is actually the species that the Torah mentions of Akoi, which is one of the Chayas, and we actually don't even know what the Akoi is. Maybe these Azi Dabali is the Akoi, which is a type of a Chaya. And therefore, it shouldn't be kosher as a carbon for the mizbech. Moreover, Amalei Rav Acha Bereder of the Rav Rav Ashi, and some say it's Rav Acha Bereder of Avi Rav Ashi. Dilma mina de tai, maybe it's the tai, which is another one mentioned over there that we don't know. I mina de zemenin, or maybe it's a type of zemer, again, which we're not proficient, we don't even know what type of species it is. Maybe it's the easy to bali, and maybe therefore it's a chaya. So although it's kosher, but how are you able to bring it as a carbon on the mizbech? So the Gemara actually says, you're right, Amalei Rav Chanan Rav Ashi says, Ameima shari tarbayu. Ameima actually permitted the fats of these azi de bali to be eaten because he held that they're chayas. Which is another halacha differentiating between chayas and behemas. The fats of a chaya are permitted to be eaten, but not of a behema. Meaning the chaylev, those certain prohibited fats by behema. And if you see, yeah, he actually held that it was a chaya, possibly the akoy or the zemer or the tay, and not like was said before, that it's obviously in the category of izim. Now, similar type of a discussion, the Gemara says, "Baymine Abba Beredra Minyamin Barchia Miravhuna Barchia." He asked him the same question. Hani Azid Bali. He asked it as a question. These wild forest goats, Malagab Mizbech, what's Aloha? Could they be brought as a carbon on Mizbech? So he answered as follows. He says, "Ad Kanli Plig Yerbiz Rabbanon." Until now, we don't have a disagreement between Yerbiz and Rabbanon, which is also one of these that possibly mentioned in, that are mentioned in the Torah. Ele B'Shahar Bar. The Machlek is regarding the wild ox, where how to qualify it, if it's a behemah or chaya. Because if not, we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Klayim. The Tanakhama says, Shor Habar, this wild ox, says, Min behemah. It's a type of a domesticated animal. B'Yisim, he says, no, Min chaya, it's a type of a wild animal. As the Gemara explains, Rabban Sab, the Rabban held, Mid de Targaminon Tubalov. And the fact that the Torah had the Targum interpretation of Ta'ai, which is one of the types of that I mentioned there at the end of the Pasuk, the Targum translated as Turbala, which means the Tur, the ox, of Bala, of in the forest of Lebanon. So mina de behemu. Obviously, it's considered a type of a behema, because a shar, an ox, is a type of a behema. So that's why he says it's considered a behema. Now, Rabbi Yisi Sabi held, no, and the fact that the Torah puts it in the category of those that are chayas, because first the Torah mentions the behemas, and then mentions all those that are chayas, and the Torah is in that category of those that are the chayas, so obviously mina de chayu, obviously a type of a wild animal. So that's what he says, that only there do we find a machlekes in one of these types of animals if it's considered a chay or behema. Because, as we just explained, why they disagree. Avalhani, but these, which the azi de bala, which the Torah doesn't mention them amongst the chayas, so divyakol, mina de ezenu, obviously everyone's going to agree that it's a type of a goat because it's not mentioned in the Torah. So it must be subsumed under one of them, because it's only these 10. And if it's considered the forest goats, it must be a goat, which is a type of a behema and the verkasha for the mizbech. However, Maskevler Rav Acha Bereder Avika, he said, but v'dilma mina de akin, and like we asked before, he says, maybe it's the akai, which we don't know what it is, and therefore it's a chaya. Or moreover, Amalei Ravina Rav Ashi says, v'dilma mina de tai, or mina de zemeninu. Maybe it's one of the other ones that we don't know what it is, that's a chaya. And actually says the Gemara, you're right, Amalei, and the Gir says, Rav Chan and Rav Ashi, Amemer Shari Tabai, you're right, Amemer permitted the fats of it to be eaten, because yes, actually considered as a chaya, and not as a behemoth, which therefore obviously wouldn't be kosher of the mizbech. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a Mishnah that said Ketzat. How is it that applies the Isra of Isra Bes Benai, whereas the Mishnah had qualified is applies both by Kadshim and by Chul? So the Mishnah went on, HaShechet B'chul of someone slaughters, etc. Now, Amar Baishi says, regarding our Mishnah, Kulam Asneitin D'Lik Reb Shimon. Our whole Mishnah does not work out according to Reb Shimon. I mean, obviously it's not the town of our Mishnah. Mimai, from where? So he goes through different cases to show it wouldn't be feasible according to Reb Shimon. Mid the Kotani, from the fact that one of the cases that Mishnah described was Kachim Achutz. If both of these animals, the father, the mother, and the child, either one of those, if it's being slaughtered out of the Azar, so the Tanya the Mishnah says, Sarishin Chayiv Karas, the first one's liable for Karas because he's doing Shchut Echutz, slaughtering out of the Azar. Ushneim Pesul, both of them are invalid because both of them are being slaughtered out of the Azar, and they're both Karbanis, they're both Kachim. Ushneim Seifkim Esar Bam, and both of them get lashes for violating the Isra that they did. Now, says Rabbi Yishya Mechti Letzi, Shaminin Rabbi Shimon Da'amar, we know, we've heard Rabbi Shimon that he says, which is brought in the Mishnah on the next daf in Pe'alv and Beis, that he says, Shchita She'ena Ru'a Lo Yishma Shchita, that a slaughtering that's not fit, that's not considered a bona fide slaughtering, is not even considered, it's not called a slaughtering. And hence, if you did a Shchita, it's not a fit Shchita, there's not going to be a liability for Eisav Es Benai, because Eisav Es Benai is only when you slaughter a mother and a child on the same day. You didn't slaughter because it didn't make it fit. It didn't work for what you wanted it to do. It doesn't permit the animal to be eaten. Whereas we find, Reb Shimon says, if someone slaughters a Shur HaNiskel, an ox that's going to be stoned, or you can't eat it anyway, it's forbidden to be eaten, it's forbidden to have benefit, Shimon says, then you're exempt from Nesav Eisav Esbenai, because although you slaughtered, but that's not considered slaughtering. Slaughtering is what permits it, and it's not permitting it. So we know that he says, Shchita Sheni Rolesh Mashchita, says the Gemara, contains Amad Beis, says Rabbi Yishia. So that, if that means that Kama Mikl Katli, that means to say, the first animal of the carbon that was slaughtered outside, it wasn't slaughtered, it was killed. Because when you slaughter kachim outside, that's not a shchita ruya, because it's not working for you. It's actually forbidden. It didn't fulfill the obligation. Because as Rashi explains, although regarding shchuta chutz, to be liable for karis, we're considering that you did a slaughtering, but that's exeris akasiv. That's just a biblical decree. But regarding all other areas, it's not considered a bona fide slaughtering, as the Gemara says later on the Peyam and Alf. We learn it from Tavach, Tavach, Vahach, and it has to be that it's working out for you as a slaughtering. Now, therefore, says Rabbi Yishia, since the first one that you slaughtered outside, it's not considered, quote, a slaughtering, so actually, you're permitted now to slaughter the child, meaning, in the context of, it's not mechus esman, it's not lacking permissibility in the halachas of kachim to slaughter it, because for Esav es benai, to make the second one prohibited, because you already slaughtered the mother, it says shchita, and you didn't do shchita to the mother. If that's the case, so sheni miskabel b'fnim hu, if that's the case, so that means the son, the second one that you're going to slaughter, is actually viable to be brought as a carbon inside right now. And now that you're slaughtering it outside, karis nami l'chai. You shouldn't be liable only for lashes. You should also be liable for karis. In our Mishnah, we explain you're not chai for karis because karis only if it's viable inside, then you're liable outside. But we said it's not viable inside because it's mechus esman. You can't bring it now once you slaughtered the mother on the same day. But according to Rabbi Shimon, you could even slaughter this on the same day because the slaughtering of the mother wasn't instead of slaughtering. And therefore you should be chayev karas. And our Mishnah that says you're not chayev karas is obviously not like Rabbi Shimon. Moreover, continues Rabbi Yishia. Another case of our Mishnah. He said if both of them are chulin and you're slaughtering them both bifnim in the azar. So said the Mishnah, shneim b'sulim, they're both invalid because you can't slaughter chulin b'azara. And if you do, it's invalid. And Vasheni Sabek Sabam, the second one, gets lashes for the Isra of Isra as Benai. The first one doesn't get because it's considered Isra Asay. The second one gets lashes because you're violating the Isra of Isra as Benai. Says the Gemara, Mechti, let's see. Shamin, Lil Rebbe Shimon, as we said, he holds, if it's not a Shchita that accomplishes, it's not considered, quote, a Shchita. So, Kama Mikl Katli. The first one, which Rashi points out, not necessarily only the first one, it's even the second one, but for the point we're bringing out, the first one that's being slaughtered as a chul nazara, it's not helping for you. You can't eat such an animal. It's asr. So it's basically just killing it, not slaughtering it. If that's the case, sheni amai sebeg es arbaim, why does then the second one get lashes? You're saying it gets lashes because eisav es benai. There's no eisav es benai. You didn't slaughter the mother today to make the second one asr. You just killed the mother. So why would you get lashes? And our Mishnah says you get lashes. Moreover, Katinja Bishnah. Another case our Mishnah says, Kachim Bifnim. If both of them were Karbanis, and you're slaughtering both of them, the mother and the child, on the same day in the Azar. So Harishan Kashrupata, the first one is valid, it's a regular carbon, you're doing the Azar, and you're exempt, you didn't do anything wrong. But Vasheni, for the second one, Sefigas Arbam Apostle. Then you get lashes, and it's invalid because you're doing Isavis Benai, and moreover, it's invalid because it's mechus esman. It cannot be brought as a carbon yet, because although it's a kachim, but you already slaughtered the mother that day, and that doesn't allow you to slaughter this one now. If it's mechus esman, like a child less than a animal that's less than 8 days old, it's not yet ready. He wrote it's not yet ready, and therefore it's invalid. Says the Gemara, Mechti, let's see. Shamin l'Reb Shimon dama shchita sheinu rulei shmei shchita. We know that he says that if it's not a valid shchita, it's not considered shchita at all. So if that's the case, shchitas kachim, anytime you slaughter a carbon, nami shchita shein aruyehi. Every slaughtering of a carbon is not considered a shchita ruya. Why? The kamadulei zarek damlei mishter basar, usually shchita for a chulin animal, when you slaughter it, that's ruya because it makes the animal permitted. By a carbon, when you slaughter the animal, it's not permitted yet. The meat is only permitted to be eaten once the blood of the carbon is thrown. So that means to say that the shchita is not making it ruya, so it's a shchita shein ruya. If that's the case, sheni amaisav v'ges arbam apostle, why does the second one who slaughters the second animal get lashes and the carbon is pasul? Whereas Rashi explains, there's two questions over here. In other words, it's not only is our question regarding lashes, regarding the second one who's slaughtering the second animal, where even if you're going to say that, as our Mishnah said, Reb Shimon will hold, that Eisav Es Benai applies by Kachim, but still the second slaughtering is a Shechita Shein Neruya, because it's Mechus Esman. So it's going to be possible. So, however, but you shouldn't get lashes, because you're not doing Eisav Es Benai. But that's what the Gemara's question is, even more than that. Even the Isra of Isav as Benoi Korin Trib Shimon should not apply ever by Kodshim. Why? Because the first slaughtering is not Ruya. Why? The second one, we know why it's not Ruya. So you shouldn't be Chai for Isav as Benoi for slaughtering the son. But that's what the Gemara is saying. Even the first one, the Shechita Sheni Ruya, because it's not permitted with the slaughtering, it's only permitted with the throwing of the blood. If that's the case, then why is the second one puzzled from Hakrava? It should even be Kasher of Hakrava, because it's no Isra of Isav as Benoi. And for sure that that's the second question, that most definitely shouldn't get lashes. Rather, obviously, proves the Gemara from all these points, says Rabbi Yishai, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, Pshita Dachi, so obviously our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon, like Rabbi Yishai illustrated. What actually is he teaching us? Says the Gemara, Shechitas Kachim Itzchali. No, he needed to, for the last point he just mentioned, regarding the slaughtering of Kachim, where Sogadai Dechamina, you would have thought to say, Shechitas Kachim Shechita Ruyeh. No, when you slaughter Kachim, that's a fit Shechita. And the proof is because the Nachar Vizarek Dam, if someone would just tear out the pipes of the animal and kill it that way of a carbon, and then throw the blood, Le Mishri Basar, that wouldn't permit the meat to be eaten. And the Chishachat Mishri Basar, when you slaughter the animal and then you later throw the blood, that permits the meat to be eaten. So therefore, maybe you would say, V'shchita Ruyeh, it is an appropriate slaughtering and consider Shechita. That's what the Beis is teaching. No, that according to Rabbi Shimon, that would not be the case. It would be considered Shechita Sheni Ruyeh, because ultimately it's not the Shechita that makes it fit, and therefore, that's just like a Shechita Sheni Ruyeh, and therefore, again, according to Rabbi Shimon, it actually not only shouldn't get lashes, but actually should even be kosher the second carbon, and therefore, obviously, our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon. Now, but once we mention this case of the Mishnah, the Gemara asks, regarding this case of when you have these two kachim karbanas, the mother and the child, that are being slaughtered in the Azara on the same day, why does it say that there's only one set of lashes, like we said, Vasheni Sevigas Arbaim? Ask the Gemara, Velukinami, let the second one, who's slaughtering the second kachim in the Azara, get lashes, another set of lashes, for a different reason. Mishum Lav de Mechusas Man, because he's violating the prohibition of something that's not yet fit to be brought as a karban to Hashem. Meaning, even if he's not going to be makrivit, the liability of Mechus HaZman should even be regarding the Shechita, because we find that the Gemara says in Masechtas Tmur regarding all invalidations, which includes Mechus HaZman, that you're going to violate from five different things. One, Bal Takdish, you're not even allowed to be makdish as a carbon. One is Bal Tishchatu, which we're told about over here, not allowed to slaughter it. One, you're not allowed to throw its blood. Another, you're not allowed to sacrifice all of it, and not even sacrifice part of it. Because the Tanya learned in the Braisa that says, Menayin l'chala psulim shebeshoi b'shebeseh. How do we know regarding all invalidations of regarding an ox and a sheep, which includes mechus hazman, shehu b'lo yiratzeh, that you're violating the pasuk in the Yikra that says where you it's not going to be considered accepted by Hashem. Says the Braisa, Tam olam, that's what the pasuk teaches. It says v'shar, v'seh, an ox, and a sheep, that serua, which is a problem if one of the limbs are bigger than one of the other ones, v'kalut, or if it was born with unsplit hooves, v'goyim, etc. The pasuk says, ulanei de lo yiratzeh, it's not going to be considered accepting of your vow. Limit al b'sulin, shebeshoi v'shebeseh, that says the Braisa teaches regarding all invalidations regarding the ox and the sheep, shu b'lo yiratzeh, that's not considered accepted. So that's violating that negative prohibition. So you should get a lav, not just for the isra of oisav es benai, but also regarding, because it's mechus hazman. Says the Gemara, no, kika chashiv, when does the Tana count what the lashes are going to be for? Is lavi dev oisav es benai, which is the context of our parak of our Mishnah, which was only those of when you're doing slaughtering the parent and the child on the same day. Lav in Nechroi, like a chashav, some other lavin, you're right. It would apply to, but we're not considering other lavin, other negative prohibition to get lashes for in our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, v'loi, we don't. But v'kachim achutz, take the other case of our Mishnah. When both of them are kachim, the parent and the child, and they're being slaughtered out of the Azara, the lavin Nechroi, which those are foreign lavin, meaning that apply to shchita b'chutz of kachim, v'kachashav, and it's counted in our Mishnah, the Ketani, like we learned in the Mishnah. Mishnah said, kachim achutz, that both are karbanis, the parent and the child, and they're being slaughtered out of the Azara, so arishin chayiv kars, the first one's chayiv kars, because of shchut echutz, v'shneim seifkin mesabam, and both of them get the 40 lashes. So says the Gemara, bish l'mesheni, we know why the second one gets lashes, mishum lav v'aysav es benai, because he's violating the v'aysav es benai. But al l'rishin amai seifik, why does the first one get lashes? He's not doing Isav es benai, he slaughtered first. Lav mishum lav de shchut echutz isn't because of the prohibition of slaughtering out of the Azara. So you see, they were considering lashes for other things, not just Isav es benai. Says Gemara, yes, but kol hecha delek lav de Isav es benai, any area where it doesn't have the lashes for Isav es benai, like in the first one who's slaughtering the kachim echutz, so chashav lav nechrai, so we do say that he gets lashes too, and we mentioned the other prohibition that he's violating. But wherever he's going to get the lashes, for Isa Bes Benoi, which is the second one, so lechashav lavin nechroi, so we don't mention far and lavin. You're right, he really would get two sets of lashes, not just for Isa Bes Benoi, but also for lo yiratza, because of its mechos hazman, but we're not counting other lavin, if it already mentions the lav for Isa Bes Benoi. A different answer, the Gemara says, Reb Zeram, he actually says that no, hanach lechos hazman, actually leave out a carbon that yet has not reached its time yet to be able to be brought as a carbon, like in this context of Oisav Es Benai, because you slaughtered the mother that day, you can't slaughter it now, where actually it's not going to get lashes. Why? Why isn't it included in the lav of Le'iratza? Because the Akasa, because the Pasik is the continuum of Pe'alav and Alav, Nitkei La'asei. It actually fixes it with a positive commandment. My time, what's the reason? Because the Amakar, the Pasik says, Miyoyim Hashmini V'Holi Yiratza, which is the same context of Isav Es Benai, where a carbon is not considered its man yet, its mechus hazman, until it's 8 days old. From that day on, it can be brought as a carbon. So it says from the 8th day and on, it's can be considered accepted, which teaches us, miyayim eshmini in, from the 8th day, yes, mikar aloi, but before that, not, which lav abam mechlal asei asei, which means to say that a negative prohibition, which is derived from a positive commandment, then that negative prohibition is considered a positive commandment, which that's how Rashi elsewhere and other Mefarshim explain what the Gemara is saying over here, which these words seem to clearly indicate this interpretation. What it means, hakasav nitkilasei, it means to say because it's not a regular negative prohibition that you get lashes for. It's a derived negative prohibition from the context of what you should do. The mitzvah is to do it from the 8th day on. That's deriving beforehand not, which that's considered a violation of a positive commandment, which you don't get lashes for. However, Rashi over here, which Mefarshim explained, obviously, wouldn't have the gears of lava ba machal se asei. He actually translates the words hakosa nitki laasei as a different concept known as lava nitik laasei, which is even though it's a negative prohibition, but if the Torah is ameliorating it by doing a positive commandment to fix that, let's say when someone stole, there's a mitzvah hashabas exhale as a way of fixing it, then you don't get lashes for that. That's the same thing that Rashi explains would be in this halacha too. Because the Torah is telling you, oh, during the time of the 8 days, before it's 8 days old, then it's lo yiratza. As the Gemara Temura explains, for when it says v'leneda lo yiratza, that the pasuk is telling you, that lav, leave it till after it is 8 days, and then it'll be merutza. That's a lav, which Taisa's other mefarshim have difficulty understanding that, but it's menutik laasei. You can fix it by leaving it until after it's 8 days old. Where, as Rashi says, obviously you have to say that this positive commandment is not in the initial stage, like otherwise we find by Shiluach HaKein, the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird from the egg, from the child. The Gemara says later on, that first it's telling you, Shaleich HaEim, take the mother and send her away, and don't take the babies when the mother's still on. Now there, it's not a lava nitik lase, and you get lashes, because the positive commandment is actually before the negative prohibition. Here, says Rashi, no, the negative prohibition is before the asay, because, read the pasuk, the negative prohibition is before 8 days, and then the pasuk telling you, after those 8 days, then you can fix it by doing it in the positive way you're supposed to, which is after, which Rashi is calling lava nitik lasei, and therefore, there's no lashes. Now, the Gemara, however, asks on this answer of Abzeira, but the Mabai Lilik Dreb Apoitriki, you need this halacha of this pasuk of Miyamish Miniva Allah to teach a different halacha, and therefore it cannot be teaching that it's fixing it with nasei. Because the Rebbe Apaitriki Rami, he posed the following contradiction. On the one hand, the pasuk says, V'hayishib asyam tachasimai, the baby child should be 7 days under its mother. Which means say it cannot be brought as a carbon yet. Now, halay lachazi, which sounds like, but the night following the 7 day, the night of the 8th, it's already fit then to be brought as a carbon. Problem is, Iksiv, the pasuk says, V'yemishmini v'hali yiratza. Same pasuk says, from the 8th day and on, then it's going to be accepted as a carbon. That sounds like miyoyim hashmini v'hala in. From the 8th day and on, yes, but layla loy. But the night of the 8th day, not. So, okay, so how to resolve the contradiction in this pasuk itself? And that says, Poitriki is telling you that layla, the night of the 8th day, after the 7 days had passed, that's viable to kedusha. Then you're permitted to sanctify it already from when it's nighttime, and you don't violate the Issa Bal Taktish, which is the prohibition of sanctifying things which are invalid, which is what a Mechus Hazman is before it's 8 days old. And Yoyim Laratza, the 8th day, is already going to be accepting it as a carbon. So that's how he resolves the Pasuk. So you see, you need the Pasuk to teach that, and not to say Nitkila Asei. So the Gemara Noksiv Karachina, there's a different pasuk in Shmais that we could say Rabbi Petrika uses that says Kein Tasla Sherchel Tzaynecha, so too you should do for your ox and for your sheep, where it says over there Shivas Yam Yim Ima Yubayemish Min Titin Eli. That's a different pasuk that we could use Rabbi Petrika's halacha, and therefore our pasuk is still extra, which Reb Zeir has said is teaching you that it's nitki lasei, and that's why he says you're doing a lash for that, and that's why Mishnah doesn't mention it as another set of lashes for mechuz hazman, because actually mechuz hazman that you don't violate the issa of lo yiratza, meaning to get lashes for, and therefore only mentions the lashes of oisav esbenai.